Moncrief on News Talk.
Only a couple of weeks now, and children around the country will be heading back to the familiar surroundings of their school. But not all children. Those living in direct provision are moved around quite a lot, meaning starting school in a brand new place. Cillian Quinn is Policy and Programmes Director of ActionAid. Cillian, good afternoon to you.
Hi, thanks so much, Sean, for having me.
How often does this happen to families?
So generally, to give the context of it, there's about 33,000 people living in international protection at the moment. And of that, about 5,300 of those have got positive applications in. So they've been awarded international protection. So it's generally happening during the summer months. At the moment, I had an article in the Irish Examiner yesterday where I talked about dozens of families, but actually it's more likely to be about 600 families. I've spoken to some people, so, and that's around 1,200 children that could be impacted by this. That's happening over these this summer month.
Yeah, how much notice did they get in advance?
It varies massively. So generally there might have been letters that might have gone out in May or so, but I've worked with women, part of our work in ActionAid, who they've gone, they've bought the school uniforms, they've laid them out, they've ironed them, and then they've gotten the letters to say that they're going to be leaving within 3 or 4 days notice.
And what's it varies. Yeah, what's the reason for doing that?
The reason, I guess, is that they're trying to do up space. But then the reality is, what happens, by the way, is that they're given two options, these families. The one option is to go to an emergency accommodation centre, generally miles away from where they live and their schools and their supports, which are also, just to say, these are centres, emergency centres, that aren't under the same kind of remit as other centres, in that there isn't the same safeguarding in these places. Then the other alternative is to try the private rental market. And as we know...
Good luck with that.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. But there's no reason given as to why they have to move people away.
The reason is that they're making up space. But the odd thing is, they're making up space in that place, but they're moving to another place.
Yeah.
So take, for instance, these people have built up networks, and then all of a sudden that's taken away from them overnight. And say, for instance, if they did want to try and integrate into the community, if anybody here is listening who's tried to rent in Ireland, generally it's your community that a lot of the time is the reason. It's not always daft. It's the people you know. So then they're starting afresh, being sent from Waterford to Donegal and just starting all over again.
And when they're given notice that they will be moved, what kind of a distance can we be talking about? Is it just down the road?
No, absolutely not. It's from, I'm hearing, from Tipperary to Cork, from Wicklow to Donegal, from Dublin to Sligo. Like, it's constant. I'm not sure why or what's the reason giving to do that. But for instance, I spoke to one woman yesterday who did get that. She was living in the southeast of the country. And since I wrote the article, I spoke to her yesterday. And what she's decided is she can't do that to her child. And now she's sleeping on a couch near about an hour and a half from the school. So when the school opens up again in a few weeks, she'll drive the hour and a half and she'll wait, because she doesn't want to tear her child away from the supports that he has there. So that's the reality facing. But then the reality is that family are now in a really precarious situation, sleeping on the couch of a friend, and that could fall through at any moment.
Yes, of
course. So it's that homelessness risk as well that's happening with this policy.
And what kind of age of children does that vary? Are we talking about?
It varies massively, and there's no real, whether you have one child or five children, it doesn't matter. For instance, that situation was a little boy who had just finished junior infancy. He was going to senior infancy. He was 5 year old. Yeah.
Because I imagine if the child has been in school 1, 2, 3, 4 years, but then if you're given notice during the summer, you're moving to a county hundreds of kilometres away, you mightn't even get your child into a school.
Well, there's that as well, and we're hearing that, and say, for instance, in communities in Donegal, that seems to be a problem, that there is schools that they don't actually have the capacity for moving all these families. So I don't know how well thought out this process is, to be honest, because things... Whether the direct provision system is not fit for purpose, it's not perfect, of course. And I never thought I'd be on the radio advocating for people to stay in direct provision centres in the country. But at least they have communities. At least these children have one form of stability in these areas. So pulling them from it makes no sense.
Yeah. How long has this been going on for, this moving people around?
It seemed to have started particularly last summer. So it did. There was a bout of this last summer, and now it's been happening over this summer. So it seems to be a new policy the government have brought in.
Mm. And is there anything about the particular people who are chosen to move?
No.
Have they got an application in, or has an application been refused, for instance?
Oh, sorry. No, these are people who have got approval for international protection. But the problem is they're in limbo of like trying to move out. And the reality is, Sean, they don't want to be in there. They're desperately, everybody. I spoke to one woman who had 609 applications in, or sorry, viewings and writing to things on Daft.
Yeah.
The reality is they're trying their very best to get out of there. So, yeah, the idea of moving them somewhere else to start again, it just doesn't make sense.
Right. Could it be a little, I mean, if they've been approved for international protection, could there be an element here of, well, we'll just move them around a bit, you know, because maybe they're dragging their feet when it comes to trying to find accommodation for themselves.
Maybe that's the tactic, but children are the ones that are suffering if that is the tactic. And I guess the reality as well, one of the big kind of problem, first of all, the big one is for children. But secondly, this is a coordination issue between the Department of Housing and the Department of Justice, that there's no real joint up thinking on how do you move someone on? How do you transition from direct provision? Which is something that really needs to be looked at, like having a move on plan. But then also there's like the reality is people are going to apply for international protection in this country. People are going to get approval for international protection in this country. People are going to move on. What's the plan for those people?
Mm.
And for instance, we can do that by strengthening local authority integration teams, strengthening local councils, and also maybe long-term thinking about maybe it is time to bring in transitional family hubs or something like that, and supporting these families to stay in those communities and give them a bit more time. We have an advisory board and are part of ActionAid. There's seven women in it. They all got these letters last summer. Six of them did manage to move on. They just got that little bit more time. That's the reality. They want to move on. So it's just a bit of compassion. And yeah.
It must be enormously stressful for them though.
I can't even begin to understand how stressful it is, to be honest. I've a 2-year-old and it's stressful enough just living my life. I don't know what it's like when you're trying to move 3 children around from the other side of country, not necessarily knowing the systems. I have people who are moved from Mayo to Louth. They go to the local council and then they're told, no, you need to go back to Mayo to get the stamp to be on the... And it's that kind of bureaucratic loophole that these families are in.
Mm.
And the stress it's having on parents who are just trying to do their best for their children.
Yeah. No, and is it the Department of Justice who sends out these letters telling them they're moving?
Yeah, it is the Department of Justice, and it would be through IPAS, so yeah, the International Protection and Accommodation Services that do that. And then that's where it gets murky. What happens then? And people don't necessarily know who's responsible for who when people leave and they fall into this, like I said, bureaucratic loophole between getting kicked from local councils back to IPAS. So it's between justice and housing. And that's what we'd be asking for today, is to see action on those two, which the Ombudsman for Children has called for, which organisations like Crosscare and DePaul have also called for. And that's what we're calling for. The Department of Justice and Department of Housing, start talking about what is the move on plan for these people.
Yeah. And as things stand now, is there a move on plan?
Oh, God, no. there isn't. It's down to individuals and trying their best. And it's like, some people get lucky and they do find housing. But at the moment, there doesn't seem to be at all, is the issue.
Yeah. That's extraordinary. After this long period of time, when we're, you know, much of the debate is about ending direct provision and coming up with a better alternative, but they still haven't figured out the kinks in this part, in the old system.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Are there any exemptions to this? If you're elderly, for instance.
Yeah. So, for instance, and that's another thing that we would be asking for, is that so previously there was an exemption in place for those who were over the age of 65 and who had medical conditions. What we'd be asking for is that exemptions could be and should be put in place for families with children. Because the reality is, it should be the core of any policy that we have, is that you don't disrupt a child's life. And that's all we're asking for. Don't move kids away from the little bit of structure and stability that they have. So there has been exceptions put in place. And what we'd be asking is to extend those exemptions for families with children.
Yeah, because you'd imagine if you're a single man, you're a bit more portable, I suppose, really. You're not bringing that much with you.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, it's still very difficult for them.
But
I think the precedence should be for children, is our take.
Yeah. And have you had any communication from the department or ministers or anyone on this?
Realistically, no. We haven't. We've tried and we've pushed and we see the letters. I've seen the letters that get sent. We need to move you on because we have other people coming in. But then the reality is they're moving them somewhere else. There is a bed that you're moving to. So it's just a very chaotic response to something that it's just passing the parcel around the country, and you're playing with people's lives and children at the end of the day.
Yeah, because it's odd if you're in Louth and you've been there for 2 years, yeah, and then you get a letter saying, well, we're moving people into Louth, but you're going to Mayo. Why don't they move those people to Mayo if there's a bed there?
Yeah, I don't know what decisions are being made in what room, but it doesn't seem to make any sense, that. Yeah.
Yeah. And even the people running the IPASS centre, are they aware of this, that someone would have got a letter and been told to move on? Or?
Yeah, they would be. But the disconnect again between people who are running direct provision centres and, say, IPASS and the letters, that level of communication isn't always the best. So not necessarily. You might be told, oh, you have to be down for the bus in the morning because you're being moved to Donegal. That might be the level of knowledge that they have.
My word. There's no plan for people in direct provision, says one listener. This is a symptom of this. It was never meant to be a permanent solution, and we have a housing crisis. Another text says, my sympathy goes out to those families. I'm currently looking to rent somewhere and never even get an email back on DAF, so can't imagine not knowing where I would be living with school starting in a few short weeks. And someone else says, direct provision centres are not fit for purpose. The system cannot cope with the numbers of people moving to Ireland, and it is as simple as that. Is there a point in that? That they can't cope with the numbers as well as anything else?
I don't know, and I don't know if it's getting into that. I don't believe that's the case. I think that there is, we're a wealthy country. We have, under international law, we need to allow people to have international protection. We've seen urgency in responses before, like we did with Ukraine. And if that's what we require now, then we should be doing that now.
Yeah. Killian, thanks a million for coming in to talk
to us
today.
Thanks so much, Sean.
That was Killian Quinn there, Policy and Programmes Director of ActionAid.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.